Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
The book of Psalms, the ninth Psalm. Glad you are all here, and it is good to worship together. Now, tonight, you're not going to walk out of here hearing anything from the sticky pages of the Bible that you haven't heard before. Those are those pages that you don't often go to. You're not going to hear anything profound, but you are going to hear something that will make you survive and make you live. Now, I'm not trying to downplay this by any means, because I never believe in downplaying the Word of God. And I don't think we ever have to apologize for the Word of God. An old preacher said years ago, said, just let it loose and let it defend itself. You don't have to defend the Word of God. Do you know that? You don't have to defend it. It can defend itself. It's that powerful. People can debate it. They can split hairs. They can divide the doctrine every which way. But that's okay. It doesn't change truth. It will prove itself right. Always. Always does. Always has. It shall continue to do so. But I am going to talk to you tonight about some practical Christianity that I feel that we should talk about. I'm a strong, firm believer in practical Christianity. Now, if you don't understand what practical Christianity is, by my definition, that is doing what we are supposed to do on a daily basis without the need for emotions involved in it.
That's right.
It is about living the life because we know the life is right to live.
Yeah.
It's not based on emotion. It's not based on feelings, because we have fallen to the trap many times. And we have fallen to a pattern to where our relationship with God or our allegiance to God or whatever it might be was built strictly out of emotion. If we didn't feel it, then we didn't do it. If we didn't feel some kind of emotional energy or feeling, then it didn't really happen. Living for God can't be that way. It must not be that way. If it is that way, then we are serving God, if I could word it as such, we are serving God according to rewards. In other words, that's why the apostle told us it's not by works lest any man should boast. Because the works of the flesh are not only works of the flesh that are active. Everybody stick with me for a second. I need to plow a little corn here, okay? The works of the flesh are not necessarily the works of the flesh in manifestation of physical works, of standards or of lifestyle choices, but it also can be works of the mind. To where we feel like that if we do something, we should get rewarded. And we only do something if we're getting rewarded. And so we become like an animal that's getting a treat for a trick. That is not why and how we serve God. We serve God no matter what. We serve God faithfully according to the Word of God. Everybody still with me? Say amen.
Yes, sir.
And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about I will praise thee. Reasons to praise God. Now, I'm going to give you seven reasons tonight. And maybe, I don't know if you're the type that you write things down on post-it notes and put it on the mirror. Post it on your windshield. I don't know if you write it down, maybe look at it each day, but I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to take pictures of whatever is being posted up here and remind yourself on a daily basis. Because there are days that we find ourselves that we don't feel like praising God. We don't have the emotional fortitude to do so, but we still need to do so because we have knowledge of doing so. So, Psalms 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Let me use this just as a springboard to get to where we need to be. I'm going to talk about I will praise thee. Father, I pray that you would anoint us, and I thank you, God, for your anointed word. How wonderful it is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. And so, Father, I pray help us tonight to be practical about this, to put in practice every day this life we live, to know you, to serve you. And God, I pray that you're glorified and that you're praised through us. And so Lord, we trust you. Help us now to please you. Anoint me and anoint this people. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Each one of us tonight, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the Word tells us. That's the assurance that the Word gives us. But what that is as well telling us is that while we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, we are all unique, but yet we are somewhat the same. The sun rises and sets on us all. It rains, the Word said, on the just and the unjust alike. time and chance happeneth to all, the wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:11. Everybody hear that verse? That's something we should chew on just a little bit in our life. Time and chance happeneth to everybody. Not everything is spiritual, right? Not everything that happens, that bump in the night, that's not necessarily spiritual. That dream that you had is not necessarily spiritual. I had a dream the other night. I woke up and middle of the night, like, what in the world was that? There was nothing spiritual about it. It was just something I ate. Not everything. So time and chance happens to all. Things come and go in life. Life has its course, its flow of life. We have prayers that are answered the way that we want them to be answered. We have prayers that are answered in a way that we didn't want them to be answered. But nonetheless, they are still answered according to his will. And so time and chance happen to all. Same or similar events happen to us all in life. We all feel the effect of life, rain, no rain. But it's how we deal with all of that as to what makes us unique. Yes. We all deal with things differently. Because of that uniqueness, it can be difficult, especially in our particular day and culture, to constantly be influenced and swayed in ways that can affect our walk and our relationship with God. I really believe this. I believe that it is the present battle of the modern day church, that there is such, we are so inundated with so many things that it sways us and it influences us in ways that affect our walk and with God and our relationship with him. Probably more so now than ever before, I could be safe to say, that there can be the rapid unsettling in our life and our soul due to the abundance of information that is making its way to us continually. Because what we hear, what we see, affects us. And because it's coming at us so rapidly and we're hearing about it and we're feeling the effect of it, it affects our life spiritually. It can cause us to have certain emotions and certain feelings in our life, judgment calls and feelings about one another or things. And because 25, 30 years ago, we wouldn't have had to deal with these things. We didn't have some of these emotions and these eruptions within our spirit, within our life, because we didn't have the influx of information that was constantly coming at us so quickly. And because now it's coming at us constantly and we're feeling these, I've talked to you about this before, we're all feeling the effect of it, and by now we should have it down that we don't let it, but it's still going to be that way because we are flesh. And because of that abundance of information it making its way to us, we are swayed sometimes. And we feel certain ways that affect our spirit. Sadly, we all probably know more than we should know in this world. Yes. Sadly so, we probably all know more about other people's lives than we should know. Right. That is true. Amen? Right. I'm getting a 50% amen. It is still the truth. Sadly so, we know more about other people's lives than we probably should know. We know more what's going on in the world than what we should know. Because the wise man said in Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, everybody stick with me on this now. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, that with the increase of knowledge, there is as well the increase of sorrow. It didn't specify what that knowledge would be. Now, obviously, so there's the spiritual implication that's involved. I feel like just going a little bit deeper here for a second. So, walk with me. There is the implication of spiritual knowledge, because when there is spiritual knowledge that is known, there is a certain element of sorrow that comes into our life, because we recognize when there is not the acting upon what is right, we know the end result. We know that if the godly sorrow is not acted upon, then there is ultimately earthly sorrow. But when there is godly sorrow, it brings us to repentance, whereas earthly sorrow has no change. We can have an earthly sorrow that does nothing to our spirit to affect it to where it's saved. But godly sorrow works repentance. And so with that increase of knowledge, with that increase of understanding, there's sorrow that's a result of it. And so we know these things, and because we know things about people, because we know things going on in the world, because we're inundated with it, there's much sorrow that comes with it. So there has to be, because of that. Now again, I'm talking about practical Christianity now. Because of that, there has to be a counterbalance, if you would, to the effect of it, because we are so affected by things, because things get in our mind, we have feelings about it, we have strong feelings about it. And because those things get in our mind and we're affected by it, there has to be a counterbalance, if not a complete, and I'm gonna say this, Hear me, because I really do believe what I'm getting ready to say. Not just a counterbalance to all the carnality in the world, but literally a complete tipping of the scale in favor of what is right and what is spiritual and what is godly. Because can I tell you, we can try to balance, everybody stick with me on this, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. We can try to balance things out according to the flesh and the spirit and think that they should get equal time. They should not get equal time. The spirit should always outweigh the carnal. The spiritual man should always outweigh that which is going on out in the world. God is always, I don't care what it says, God is always right. His way is always perfect. Amen. The world can say what they want. The world can have the sway that they want. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be judged according to the world. At the end of the day, we're not going to answer to the world. At the end of the day, we're going to answer to God. That's where our allegiance must lie. Amen. So there has to be that counterbalance in our life because of all the things coming at us. It demands of us a greater choice, a more determined choice, a choice to praise God even when there is not the feeling or the emotion present to praise Him. For so often our praise is born from that. Our praise is born only from an emotional place, a feeling that wells up within us, a response to the happening. And that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody understand? That's good. Nothing wrong with that. It should be, but it cannot just be.
Right.
I want to have emotion. That's what we felt good emotion here Sunday. We felt good energy here. Amen? I'm thankful for that. But I also know there's going to be some Sundays that,
exactly.
Not that. You're going to hear Brother Esau yawn underneath his mask like that. And it's just, that was perfect. Did you plan that? We didn't work that out. There's sometimes we're going to come into church and it's just going to be a yawn session. Everybody just, well, we got through that, didn't we? And so it's good to have emotion.
Right.
And emotion is good to bring us to praise.
Right.
But I don't just praise Him because I'm emotionally motivated
That's
to
right.
praise Him.
Right.
We must praise God from a place of faith and assurance
yes.
and promise in understanding
yes.
His word.
Yes.
Even when it may not be felt.
Right.
Because praise is a choice.
Yes.
I choose to praise God.
Yes,
I choose
sir.
To live a life. I choose to worship God. I choose to live this out.
Yes.
I make the choice, even when I don't feel like it. I try to pray every time I come in here to the church to pray. I try to pray every time for people that are persecuted around this world. Because there are literally hundreds of people right now that are being martyred, that are being persecuted around this world for the name of Christ. We don't know much about it. It doesn't make headlines here. We don't hear about it, but literally, there are countless people that are being martyred physically, their life being taken around this world. There are people that are in China tonight that they will go to church after everybody goes to bed because of fear of what the repercussions would be if they did it publicly during the day. We drove to church without any hindrance tonight. Nobody stopped us. People are being persecuted. And so we have to learn to praise God. We praise God from a place of faith and assurance and promise, understanding His word, even when we don't feel like it. David said, I will praise thee. I will sing praise to thy name. In other words, he said, I will do this. This is what I'm going to do. I have decided upon it. It was determined, whether felt or not. That is what praise must be in our life. It is a choice. Praise is a choice we make. We come in, we worship God. We praise Him, whether we feel like it, whether it's not there.
Right.
Whether it's the song we like or the song we don't like. Because God is not dictated by time or tempo. He's not determined by the likes and the dislikes of humanity.
Right.
He remains the sovereign God that He is. Tonight, that's what we're going to try to affirm and understand and put in practice in our life. Seven reasons to praise God. I'm going to give you seven reasons to praise God. You can practice one out each day. You can practice all seven out each day. You can write them down, put them on your mirror, post it on your phone. But I'm going to give you seven reasons why you should praise God daily, whether you feel like it or not, whether I feel like it or not. It's my hope that this week and always these things will come to your mind and they will forever be landmarks that will keep you in a purpose direction. So let's begin. We praise God because of this, first of all. God knows me. I praise God because God knows me. But now, thus saith the Lord in Isaiah 43. Thus saith the Lord. That created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We can praise God simply because He knows us. He knows our name. We don't have to fear. The creator of all creation knows us personally. He is intimately aware of my life. When you feel insignificant or unknown, which is an effect that's in our world right now, that's why we see, just stick with me on this, okay? That's why we see such a rise in social media, people wanting to put themselves out there to be known and to know. The fear of missing out, all those kind of things, they want connection. They want some 15 seconds of fame, whatever it might be, or somehow they might grasp the attention. People want to be known. When you feel insignificant, if you have never felt insignificant, there should be a moment in your life where you recognize insignificance so that you can recognize the significance that God feels about you. When you feel insignificant or unknown, we can praise God even when there is the absence of the approval of others. Because we simply have the approval of God. God knows us. He knows us. This is something important to understand. The knowing that we are known of God, that he loves us perfectly as if we were the only one of us. The love of God is perfect. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows all there is to know about you. And that should sober us to another thought. But let me just dwell on the fact that God knows you, where you are, who you are, what you go through. He knows your name. He is mindful of every event, everything that's surrounding you. So daily, you can praise God because he knows you. Look at this next. We can praise God because God sings over this, sings over us. Now I personalize this, all these. God sings over me. So I want you to personalize it for yourself. God sings over me. God sings over you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. We should praise God because God is singing over us. He rejoices over us with joy. To think that God Almighty, this is profound to me, to think that God Almighty, who is perfect, has a song written just about me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
When I think that God sings a song that is just about me, it makes me want to praise him. We praise him because he takes joy in us. We are not depressing to God. He delights in us, so we should praise him because he delights in us. He's not trying to avoid us. He's not trying to get away from us. We're not insignificant to him. God delights in us. We were created by him and for him. And without him was not anything made. We were created for his pleasure. God is not mad at you or disappointed with you. He is singing about how wonderful you are. Now, I appreciate your humility and not amening me on that, but it's still the truth of the matter. You might think less of yourself, but God thinks a whole lot more of you than you think about yourself. You might think you're too far gone, but God knows his mercy is a lot greater than how bad you feel. I believe that tonight. I believe that God sings over me. I believe that God recognizes my frailties because the word said that he is touched. I'm just preaching the word to you tonight, folks, teaching it to you. He is touched by the feelings of my infirmities. He is not ignorant of how frail I am, but at the same time, he recognizes that every time, every now and then, I get it right. That I come into this house and I get it right. That I live a life and I get it right. And he delights in that. And he sings over me. God wrote a song about you. It's got your name.
Glory.
As the title. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I am thankful that God delights in us. So you can praise God every day because God sings over you. When somebody is complaining about you, when somebody complains to you, when somebody is getting on to you and it's not right, when somebody honks at you and you don't honk back, can I tell you that God is singing over you?
Yes.
You can take joy in the fact that God is singing over your life. We can praise God because God upholds us. God upholds me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When we are weak, when I am weak, when I am failing, when I am falling, God still upholds me. He does not let us go just because we are not perfect. I don't believe tonight in the doctrine of unconditional eternal security.
Right. That's right.
In other words, once saved, always saved. Because I believe there can be the point that people deny God, walk away from God, that they live a life of choice that demonstrates that they are not choosing the way of God. They are choosing that which opposes God, and that would be sin. Everybody still with me? Say amen. And so I don't believe in the doctrine of unconditional eternal security. I believe that we can walk away from God. I believe that we can choose to deny God. I believe Christ made that evident when he said there were sins that could not be forgiven because people make those choices to put themselves in that place. But at the same time that I do not believe in once saved, always saved, I do believe that the mercy of God extends beyond the concept or understanding of man.
That's right.
Everybody get that?
I believe that.
I believe that when we give up, God does not. I believe that when we stop reaching, his arm's a lot longer than ours.
Well, thank you.
And I don't think it's as easy to get away from God as we sometimes think it is.
Well, you
want to know how I know that? Because I'm standing up in this pulpit, and you're sitting on that pew. That's how I know that. Because we've all had our moments, we've all had our times where we just didn't do it right, but God still kept forgiving and kept loving us, and we are still here standing. Amen. Fear. I believe it's fear that makes us feel like we are not worthy, not deserving. But he said to fear not, that he will give us strength and he will uphold us with his righteousness and not our own righteousness. And that's where the play comes in, because we try to undergird our life with our own righteousness, and our own righteousness is like sticks. It just won't hold up that structure. We have to come get on top of the righteousness of God, his strength, his power. He makes us righteous, not by our works. Amen? We praise God. We praise God that he's holding us up. You should praise God because he's holding you up. When you cannot even hold yourself up, when the weight of our life in this world often makes us feel as if there is no hope or relief, God will come in and lift us when everything else is pressing us down.
Yes.
When everything or everyone else is putting us down and this world is making us feel hopeless. Amen. Woo. Hear this right now. Amen. Maybe you need to turn off the news, and maybe you need to turn off the social media. Maybe you need to stop reading and looking at things daily because it may be pressing your mind down. You can't look up if you're always looking. I preached about it here Sunday. You cannot look up if you're always looking down. And God wants to hold you up. He wants to lift you up. Amen. When my heart condemns me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. God will uphold you. He's not going to cast you down. God cares about me. Look at this. God cares about me. The next one, please. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All that anxiety, all that worry, all those heavy burdens that just weary your walk, you can give that all to God because he cares for you.
Yes.
Now, this is often one of the most quoted yet underappreciated and unused scriptures there is. Because I think we just so easily quote it because we've quoted it so many times.
Right, right.
Oh, you can cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. And then we go on with the cares.
Right.
We say it, but we don't do it. We say it, but we really don't mean it. But the truth of the matter is, you can, in fact, cast your cares. We praise God. I believe it is a praise to God when we give our cares to God. When we give our cares to him, we are acting out a praise to God by letting him handle it. When we're laying things in our life in his care, it frees our hands and our hearts to be lifted in praise and surrender to him. You know, I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost all over the place. Inevitably, this will happen. People will come to an altar or in a pew, wherever they might be, and they will walk to an altar and they will walk like this.
Right.
And they will come down and they will start praying. And inevitably, I can say confidently in this pulpit, nearly every time that I can recall in my mind, when they receive the Holy Ghost, this happens.
Right.
Almost every time I've seen it.
Right.
There's something about that release in the Spirit, and that there's a physical demonstration. And let me tell you something. I've seen it happen before they ever spoke in tongues, because the joy came in their life. And they begin to recognize that joy, and then the tongues were manifested. And there's something about it. When you release your care, you're going to get joy. When you give it to God, when you turn it over to him, I don't need to handle that. I don't need to carry that anymore. I'm free. I'm lifted. When you do that, when you cast all your care upon him, you give it to him, and you can live a joyful life. You can live a life of freedom and happiness. Amen. God cares about you. God cares about what you care about. Start praising him for it, even when you don't feel it, and you'll start to feel it. Take time to do this, and I believe this. Be specific about this, because Chase, we were talking about this yesterday. I have a structured prayer that I work in the morning time, so here's the way I pray in the morning time. Before I talk to people or anybody, I try to see the face of God before I see the face of people, and so I look at the structured prayer. This is a shell that I work with, and so I have these points that I pray about, and I just pray about a whole lot of other things while inside that circle. But I've found that I need to be specific about things. I don't just need to be generalized about it. Well, God, I need you to heal that over there. When you begin to be specific, if you've got a problem in your life you're dealing with, when you articulate it to God, then you are verbalizing it in prayer, if you would, so that you are making it known. God, I need you to help me with this specific need.
Yes.
I need deliverance in this specific way. God, I've got this specific problem. When you start taking each piece of the puzzle and you put it in the hands of God, all of a sudden you begin to realize that you don't have to carry that basket full of junk all around in your life, because you're putting it in the hands of the one that cares about you when you're specific about it. You want a specific answer? Pray a specific prayer. And can I tell somebody in the sound of my voice, quit burying your head in prayer every night thinking that the devil's hearing you and you don't want him to hear what you're praying and you're fearful about it. You don't have to worry about that when you pray. When you're talking to God, lift your voice up, because you're calling on the sovereign Savior of all humanity, and you don't have to fear and worry about what you're praying, that the devil's going to hear it and he's going to use it on you. You've got a God that is greater than that. You've got a God that cares more about you than that. Don't live in fear and intimidation. Be specific about your prayer. Amen. Be bold. We come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of need, right?
Yes.
We don't timidly approach God. We have a Savior that loves us, that has a throne room that's open for us anytime.
Right.
God cares. Look at this next one, please. God watches. I got to hurry. God watches over us. He watches over me. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Brother Frame, my pastor, used to preach every year. I remember him preaching a message every year, A Hole in the Sky. He preached that message. Now, if you never knew Brother Frame, he was a gracious, kind, good man. I always remember him praying. He always started out his prayer, "Our gracious Heavenly Father." That's how he started out his prayer. And he was just a good man. But I remember every year him preaching A Hole in the Sky. And he would do it a couple times a year, as a matter of fact. That same message over and over and over again. I don't know how many times I heard it through my childhood and my teenage years growing up. Simply stating, God, he was saying, is always watching over us, not waiting for us to fail, but to protect and help us. Now, he coupled that with saying that God always sees what we're doing, who we are. He's an all-knowing God. But Brother Frame was he didn't preach a message of where, watch out, God's watching, that kind of thing. He was preaching that God sees who we are. Wherever we go, he said he is with us. God is keeping you wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever you're around, God is with you. We are never out of the sight of God. David talked about it. If he would ascend on high, wherever he would go, make his bed in heaven. That's what God, you can't outrun God. He's going to be wherever you're at and whatever you're going through. David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." He could say that because God is always watching. I believe that God is ever with me. Do you believe that? The word says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him. So I believe that there is an angel of the Lord that camps around about you if you fear God. I believe that there's an angel on my defense. I'm not going to go into great detail. For those of you that are struggling with fear and intimidation, wherever you might be in your life, whatever the fear might be that's being manifested in your life, understand this. There's an angel of the Lord encamped round about you when you're doing your best to live for God and you're obeying his word.
Yes.
Amen. And not only that, you have the all-knowing, almighty, all-powerful, never leaving you at any day of the week, presence of God with you. God is keeping you. God is watching over you. Amen. Pray that prayer. When you get afraid, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. For God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on. God's watching. God's keeping you. He's protecting you. He's always with you. Amen. We don't even know how many times God has kept us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
I don't know how many miles I've drove that I don't know where I was at. Driving down that road, and all of a sudden I get to a stoplight and think, man, I don't remember the last 15 minutes. I hope I didn't hit anybody, and I hope they didn't hit me. And you know what? God kept me the whole way. When you didn't know what to do, God was watching over you. When you didn't know how to think, God was watching over you. When you didn't know what to say, God was watching over you. When that evil was coming near you, God was watching over you. That's how much God loves you. Amen. We have to praise him daily. He guards over our life, watching faithfully. Fear, let me just go on with this just one step further. Fear is a spiritual sickness that is draining the peace away from people's lives in our world right now. Don't be a victim to fear. God told us in this world we'd have tribulation, but to take heart, he's overcome the world. Don't fear. God has promised you and I victory. God is careful about us. He is very careful about us. Let's look at this next one. You can praise God because God guides you. God guides me. To give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God guides our feet. He guides our life. Never underestimate the influence of God in the steps that your life will take. He loves you and I enough to care about guiding us. I believe this. I hope you believe this, and I hope you praise God daily for it, because I believe God is ordering your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That is both about place and tempo.
Yeah.
Steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God is guiding you. The Bible says that he will send his comforter that will lead you, guide you into all truth, teach us all truth. Praise him even when we do not know what to do. For he loves you enough that he's going to guide you through it, and by the Holy Ghost, he will lead you. Start your day with praise, asking him to guide you where you need to be, to those that you need to meet, and to guide your words to minister his grace. That should be a prayer that we pray every day. God, guide me this day. Order my steps in your word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me, God. What may seem to be a chance encounter may be the ordained will of God guiding you.
Yes.
Those decisions that you have to make, those choices that will have an impact on your life and the lives of others, they need the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And the way we have that is to praise him that he is guiding us, that we're hearing from God, that nudge in the spirit, that's the Holy Ghost guiding you. That word that God's saying, why don't you go over and talk to them, or why don't you go over and bless them somehow? That could be the Holy Ghost telling you, this is the way you need to walk. Walk ye therein that way. I believe God will do that. I believe God will lead us. I believe God will guide us. One of the most profound stories, and I'm probably going to get it all wrong. Some of you that's read the book, it's been so long since I read it, but I'll never forget the story of Nona Freeman. Everybody remember Sister Freeman? Sister Freeman talked about, I believe it was, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and somebody raise your hand, you can go ask them after church. But anyway, she walked out on the front porch way out in the country one day and felt the Holy Ghost tell her just to begin to wave. No cars going by. Am I close? I walked out to her front porch. She was doing dishes, I think, in the kitchen, and on that hot southern day, and she walked out to the front porch because the Holy Ghost told her to walk out and start waving. And there were no cars driving by. Nobody was driving by until all of a sudden she just kept there standing there waving. There's this old guy in Ellisville. I don't know if Brother Carson, you know who I'm talking about. He walks up and down the roads. I beep at him and wave, and he's just waving. He's blessed my life. I don't know. He probably thought I was beeping at him, but nonetheless, she walked out to that front porch, and she just started waving. All of a sudden, a car came by, passed, I don't know, years later, something like this. Am I close? The man came, I know, Judy, you read it. The man came, he said, I was driving by on my way to take my life. I thought nobody cared.
My God.
But you stood on that porch and you were waving that day.
My God.
And saved his life. Come on, it might be your hand that extends to somebody tomorrow that you don't know what they're going through, but the Holy Ghost can guide you to where you need to be to say what you need to say and to do what you need to do. You are ambassadors of Christ. You have the Holy Ghost in your life. You're not like everything else going on out there in that world. You got something that the world does not have. Can I tell you, you've got enough God in you that you can walk on water if need be for God to get you to where you need to be. So let the Holy Ghost guide you. And when the Holy Ghost guides you, you ought to be giving him praise for it, that he ordered your steps. Amen. Somebody thank God for it right now. Hallelujah. The last one. God, you can praise God because God never leaves us. This ought to excite everybody. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
So be it. End of story. Put a period on it, it's done. Amen.
Yes.
There was this old song that that said, no, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Everybody remember that song? I'm so thankful that God never leaves us. And can I tell everybody it hasn't changed? Good, bad, high, low, he never leaves. When others might, God's not going to leave. He's perfect in his love to us. He's eternal. Yet the fact of the matter is, and I think about this often, while God is eternal, he is very present. Jesus Christ is present with me. You're never alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. And that's reason enough to praise God right there, to know that he never leaves us. When you think that you're alone, remember, don't trust your emotions. Trust your faith in him and praise Jesus, and you will feel him near when you begin to praise him. And when you don't feel like anybody that he's around, just begin to praise him. And all of a sudden, you're going to begin to feel it. And you're going to know, okay, God's with me. I got this. Everything's going to be okay. I can live this life. I can do this. I don't have to be afraid. Write these things down. Stick them on your mirror, in your house, in your car, whatever. Put them on the fridge. Just make sure that you praise him every day, even when you don't feel like it. Even when there's no emotion or nobody's around, you don't have to be in church just to praise God. Learn to praise God by yourself. And all of a sudden, you're going to find a strength in your life that will motivate you to live for him in greater ways. It will change your life and it will help others to change in their life. Come on, somebody stand up and praise God with me right now. Just do that for a moment, would you? Just praise him and honor him. God, I praise you. I thank you, God, that you are faithful. You never leave me, God. You uphold me. You're my strength. You're my joy. You're my life. You're everything to me, God. I don't have to be afraid. You know me by name. Hallelujah. You lead me and guide me into all truth, Father. You are for me, not against me. You are good and faithful, God, and I love you, and I praise you, and I magnify you. How wonderful you are. How worthy you are. I praise the name of Jesus. You are God, and you are good, and you are so nothing is above you. You are over all things, God, and I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. Come on, praise him with your voice lifted. God, you're good, and I praise you. God, you're magnificent. I worship you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To God be the glory. I love you, Jesus. You're wonderful, God. Blessed be your name. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, just begin to praise God. Thank you for the day. Amen. Things may not be perfect, but he is. And when you lift him up, you are lifted up as well. Amen. Clap your hands in praise to our Savior. I love you, Jesus. You're so good, God. Amen. Walk out of here in victory tonight. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you at 9:30 praying here in the church and 10 o'clock service. It's going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to it. In the name of Jesus, bring somebody to church with you. I love you all. In Jesus' name, amen.